Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged a great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Boy, ain't that something? Four hallelujahs. Four hallelujahs. Now, the earth, and we've already studied previous to this, the earth, not the church now, don't go by this new stuff going around. The earth, right by the time you get here, it's gone through years of hell on earth. The plagues, the deception, the death, the darkness, the sores, the scorching, and now we've come to the end. And right here, before the marriage of the Lamb comes four hallelujahs in heaven. And I got looking it up, and from what I could find out, I looked and I searched, and if I'm wrong, maybe somebody will correct me, and I don't mind being corrected. My wife does it to me all the time. But if I'm wrong, I don't think there's another place before this in the book of Revelation that they're in heaven shouting hallelujah. Now, they're praising God. They're bowing, you know, things like that. But four hallelujahs are mentioned here. So, I thought about it. Here for the first time, we get to glimpse into heaven and hear and see multitudes upon multitudes praising the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what that means. Hallelujah. Now, spelled a little different, but that's the same word. Hallelujah. And so you'll see four things. You're going to see four things in these verses on why they praise Him and why we will praise Him right here during this time. Now, you got to remember, as believers, we've already been called up. Way over at chapter 4. Way over at chapter 4. Real believers, the real church, you remember, was called, come up hither. And we were raptured up. We were taken up. And so now we've not heard from the church during this time. We've just seen tribulation on earth, mostly on Israel, trying to get the children of Israel to get right with God. We've seen all these things happening that never could have happened in another age. The prophets being killed and laying in the street for 3 days and 3 nights, and the whole world watching them and having a party over them and exchanging gifts over them. That couldn't happen in another age other than this one. We got live eye everything 24 hours a day. And boy, we've seen the water turn into blood, and we've seen the vegetation burn up, and we've seen scorching sun, and we've seen boils on people and darkness in the middle of the day. Listen, we've seen a lot during this time, and that's drawing to an end, and up in heaven they're celebrating because they know what is about to happen. They know what's about to happen. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care what Lady Gaga said. I don't care what Madonna said. I don't care about the current marches or protests. There's coming a day pretty soon, folks, where we're going to be shouting hallelujah. Amen? We're going to be shouting hallelujah. And you might as well go ahead and start doing it now and get some practice. Because when we get to heaven, everybody's going to do it. There ain't going to be no shy people up there. Amen? We're going to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to get Baptist, man. I'm telling you, we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time up there. And don't think you're going to sit around on a cloud with a little harp playing a little sissy song. No, sir. We're going to be worshiping and praising and shouting and singing. And then right after this, you're going to see where we're doing what Baptists do. We're going to a supper. Amen. They had show and tell one time at school. It was in the second grade. And this little boy, he came up to the front. Johnny, what you got? So Johnny came up and he had a crucifix. And he said, "This is a crucifix. I'm a Catholic." And went back and sat down. And little Jimmy came up and she said, "Jimmy, what you got?" He said, "This is the Star of David. I'm a Jew." And then Susie came up and Susie got this thing out from under her desk and she walked up and she said, "This is a casserole. I'm a Baptist." Amen? Amen? That's about as much religion as we got. Amen? Hey, folks, go have a time. Now, I want to just show you these four hallelujahs, what they mean, okay? Number one, look at verse 1 in chapter 19. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Hallelujah, that the Lord still rescues us. He still saves us. That's what he's shouting about. Look at it again. He said, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." So they're shouting about how God rescued them. They didn't have to go through the tribulation period. They didn't have to go to hell. They didn't have to suffer. They're up in heaven and they're shouting hallelujah because of the God that still saves. Amen? From the uttermost to the guttermost. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Amen? And boy, they're also shouting because his power and his honor and his glory. And because of that, that religious apostasy, that harlot church, that worldly church has been destroyed by his power and by his glory. Boy, if that happened, I was talking to people here lately. Boy, if that happened in America today, wouldn't be many churches left. Amen. Worldly, committing fornication with the worldly things, God hating, money worship, headed by the Antichrist, is now gone in this passage. That Antichrist, that whole commercial system that he set up where he had to take his mark, that stopped. It's over. It's done. God's fixing to come. He's fixing to do something. And boy, they shouting that God still rescues them. Babylon, that Babylonian church called the Catholic Church, is fallen. And they're saying, "He rescued us from that." And all of heaven's rejoicing. And let me tell you something, in case you doubt it, and there's now all kind of so-called Baptists, some of them believe in Calvinism. They say God will save this one, he won't save that one, and everybody can't be saved, only the elect and only the predestined. We've taught on that. But let me tell you something. Jesus has saved, he is saving, and he will yet save. Whosoever will, let him come. It's not a limited atonement. It's an unlimited atonement. Amen. He has paid for the sin of the whole world. Is that not what the Bible says? He died, and if you're in the world, he's already paid for your sin. And up in heaven at this time, they recognize what he's done. And they're saying, hallelujah, he still saves. The God of our salvation. They're shouting hallelujah. And then look at verse 2 and 3. Look at verse 2 and 3. "For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged a great whore," that's the old Catholic Church, that Babylonian religious thing, "which did corrupt the earth with her fornication." She got all these other religions and denominational connections in her. "And hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand." And again they said, hallelujah. "And her smoke rose up forever and ever." Now, I think that they're saying hallelujah here because God repays. God repays. God doesn't wink. Listen, God repays. God brought judgment on that false church and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. And listen, he brings judgment on them, and he always has. God still judges wickedness. We look at the world that we live in now, and we look at it, we say, it's out of control. It's out of control. Who would ever thought that people would be arguing over who could use the bathroom? Who ever thought of that? I watched that woman walkout today or something, a piece of it on the news, what they call it, woman workout or walkout. Lazy women didn't want to go to work, I guess. But they fuss about having a job and then they lay out. But anyway, a lot of them had those shaved heads. And I thought, well, why is she in the woman walkout? She wants to look like a man. Boy, years ago, we never would have heard that. Never would have heard that. And in the world we live in now, most churches, they act like God is not going to punish sin. And they act like God's not going to punish false religion. And they act like God has changed. If you don't believe it, get on Facebook and talk something about judgment of God. Boy, they'll attack you. I've been attacked and called everything but a Baptist preacher on that stuff. Let me tell you something. They say, well, that's what God used to be in the Old Testament, but He's not that in the New Testament. And I say, well, what happened to it when He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen? And so now our religious system, our churches, our country, and all over the world, it looks like God doesn't judge sin anymore. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? Sometimes that's what it looks like. Think about it. Gay Pride Day. Whoever would have thought that millions of people, sodomites, would walk the streets and have a day named after them? Well, preacher, you hate people. No, I hate sin. And God hates it worse than I do. I love those people. But I hate what they're doing. And God does too. God so loved the world. They're in the world. He loves them. But He hates what they're doing. It's an abomination. Now, whoever would have thought that in our lifetime we'd have seen such stuff? Who'd ever thought that? Boy, lying politicians tell you anything. False religious leaders tell you anything. Fake, you're talking about fake news. I want to put something on there that says fake preacher. Amen. Fake. And they're telling them smooth things. But I've got news for you. God still judges wickedness all the way to the end in the book of Revelation. He judged them all the way to the end. Did you see that? We're almost at the end of the book. And God judged that great harlot and He judged sin. Now turn over to Psalms, if you will, 58. Just to touch on this. Turn to Psalm 58, if you will. You got it? Say amen when you got it. I ain't going to wait long. I'm just going to act like I said amen. Psalm 58. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightness, O you sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth the ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth, and break out the great teeth of young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When He bendeth His bow to shoot His arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melted, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that she may not see the sun, before your pots can feel the thorns, He shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in His wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judges the earth. There he is right there. He's not one of these little namby-pamby, prissy little gods. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And right here at the end of the book, He proves it by bringing judgment on some people. Amen? Now, look, we feel like we're on the bottom, but let me tell you something. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Let them laugh. Judgment's coming. Let them mock. Judgment's coming. Let them make fun of us. Judgment's coming. There's still a righteous judge in heaven. Amen? Now, the martyrs in this passage, when he destroys all those people that were killed, had their heads chopped off for faith in Christ during the tribulation period, they're going to be, these people are being judged for what they did to them, for one thing. And because of that, those martyrs are going to see it. And they're going to rejoice when they see the blood flowing. Those martyrs in heaven will look at what God does to this crowd and they'll say, hallelujah, God's still righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't like to talk about judgment, but His righteousness will always prevail every time. You know, we don't get by with anything. We got saved by the grace of God. We didn't get by with anything. Somebody paid for it. Jesus did. And then nobody else is going to get by with anything. God, the righteous, he wouldn't be righteous if he let them get by with it. Amen? Judgment came and they shouted, hallelujah, it finally came. And boy, one day when we get caught up in the air to be with the Lord, you know, we'll get up there and we'll shout and sing and say, thank God he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he got rid of that crowd. Amen? Amen. God doesn't hate them. God doesn't hate. I don't hate them. We love them. But in the end, God will bring judgment. Judgment. The wage of sin is still death. The soul that sinneth, it shall still die. They're not getting by with it. And boy, you see this Hollywood crowd, and you see the TV crowd, and the movie crowd, and the music crowd, and the sports crowd, and they live like hell on earth. They just live like animals. And they expect us to respect them. Here's what they'll say. You can't judge me. I don't have to. God already has. I'm just telling you what he said. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Holroyd gets in trouble a lot on Facebook for that kind of stuff. There's one woman on there that attacks him. I don't know why he don't block her. I just block her. Say bloop. Maybe he don't know how. But anytime you talk about judgment, the world will get mad because they don't think they're supposed to be judged. But ain't that funny? The same person will judge me and you. You religious fanatic. You Jesus freak. Yeah, they judge us. And then they'll always turn that around and say, well, you're a hypocrite. And I say, well, you are too. Amen? And we all are sometime about something. Amen? I say, I hate Walmart, and I went there today. I hate Walmart. I despise Walmart. Amen? But we go. Amen? But we're not a hypocrite about faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't be a hypocrite about that because you either are or you aren't. There's no being a hypocrite about it. But they'll judge us. They'll judge us. Well, I've got news for you. One day the real judge is coming. Amen. Amen. You remember in the 1970s they made that GTO, that Pontiac GTO, and on the back they wrote, here come the judge. Well, ours is going to be riding a horse, not a Pontiac. Amen. 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 That's enough to make a Chevrolet man shout. Amen. Amen. And look, verse 4 and 5. I got to hurry. Y'all not listen fast enough. Look at verse 4 in Revelation chapter 19. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Now, I want you to listen. They're hallelujahing him because he's got a reputation. God's got a reputation. He does. Now, of course, in Christian language, we call that a testimony. He has a testimony. God has a reputation, and listen, everything at this point is focused on him. Everything. Everything. Now see, when y'all think of heaven, you think of your kin folks and a few people wandering around there. But we're talking about billions of people. billions of people in heaven. And it's all focused on the throne of God and the throne room of God. And they're shouting and they're praising God. And they're saying hallelujah. And they're worshiping Him. You know why? Because look at it again in verse 5. And the 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Everybody, I don't care who they are, if they're honest, everybody knows God has a reputation. When I was lost and going to hell, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't know nothing about it. You know, we're so mean, they wouldn't even invite us, but even growing up lost, we knew there was a God in heaven. We didn't go to church, but we were ashamed of it. Back then, everybody went to church. About 10% of the population didn't go to church in the 60s and 70s when I grew up. And about 10%, now it's flipped around. About 10% goes. But I'll never forget, as a little boy, me and my brother Donnie, on Sunday mornings, we'd get up and play in the yard until time for people to come home from church, and we'd run around and hide behind the house because we didn't want them to know that we didn't go to church. And if we went to friends' houses, we'd lie about where we went to church so we'd get to play with them. Because even though we were lost and we'd never read the Bible, but God had a reputation that He was holy and He was pure and He was powerful and He judged sin, and we didn't know nothing about salvation. And look, we were afraid to say anything bad about God. Now, you try to witness people, they'll make fun of God. And they'll laugh at what you believe and make fun of you for what you believe about God, what you say about God. But I've got news for you. You get them, get them alone in a dark hospital room after the doctor said you got cancer, you got about 6 weeks to live. Hey, they will recognize the reputation of God and start hunting a preacher or somebody and get a prayer through. I've been in many hospital rooms where they didn't know any Christians. Somebody write down a name and tell me to go in there and see them. And I'd walk in there and there'd be some old sinner sitting in there in the dark, scared to death they was going to die and go to hell. Amen. Amen? Because God has that reputation. And they were saying, hallelujah, God's got that reputation. Glory to God, He's got a reputation. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 6. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6 And is it hot in here yet? I'm not preaching hard enough. Isaiah chapter 6. Go back there with me. This is Wednesday night Bible study. I'm going to wait on you now. Somebody told me the other week, said, preacher, you got too much scripture in those sermons on Sunday morning. I can't keep up with you. I said, write them down. I can't wait on you. I mean, there's a lot of scripture on Sunday morning. I can't wait on you. Isaiah chapter 6, Wednesday night's Bible study. I'll wait on you. Say amen when you get Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1 through 3, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. You know what a train is? That's what the king wears. That's his long gown behind him, that royal gown, like a woman's wedding train, her that long dress that trails behind her. And God's wearing His royalty, and it fills the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. And one had six wings, with the twain covering his face, with the twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, look at that, underline that. The whole earth is full of His glory. You can't look at the sky and say there's not a God. You'd be lying to yourself. Amen. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, preacher, why'd you read all that? Because that's God's reputation. That's God's testimony. That's, hey, when people really get down and think about God, lost people or saved people, either one, when they really get serious about God and get to thinking on God, that's what they see. A high and holy God. Thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. Nothing's more holy than He is. He's got a holy heaven. He's got holy angels. They sing holy songs. There's a holy temple up there. And He's got a holy people. He's got a holy church. Everything about God is holy. And listen, that's what people used to know. They're not preaching it like they used to. But that's what you talked about Ralph Sexton, I think. Ralph Sexton Sr. one time preached on the holiness of God. That place come unglued up there, man. They jump pews, run up and down the aisles. I'm telling you, the holiness of God. And that's God's reputation. Here's what makes me sick. Well, you know, me and the man upstairs, we got this thing. No. You ain't got a clue who God is. Amen. He ain't no old man. He ain't no old man upstairs. He ain't no stinking Santa Claus. He's not your grandpa, you know. He's God. He's holy, holy, holy. And right before the end of the tribulation period there, they're up there having a party and they're shouting for who God is, His reputation is. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Listen, look, I'm telling you, these people are shouting hallelujah. They're praising God. You might as well get used to it. You're going to be there if you're saved. You're going to see every bit of this. This is future. This is not today. You're going to see it. It's going to scare some people so bad they'll think they're in the wrong place. Amen. Amen. Well, I remember we used to have tent meetings up at Independent. And this old boy from Dallas, North Carolina, he'd come. And I can't remember his name. Y'all might remember him. He wasn't real smart. He was kind of slow. Y'all might remember him. And the singing, he starts shouting and hollering. The singing, just getting started. Y'all remember? He just shouting. He couldn't talk plain, but he just get to shouting and crying and hollering. And before the preaching ever started, I'd see him over there. And pretty soon he'd get up and he'd take off. Woo! And he'd holler all the way around that tent. He'd lap it once or twice. And he'd just shout the whole time. And he'd come back in and sit down and that was it. But he was worshiping the Lord the best way he knew how. He was illiterate. He couldn't read. But I'll tell you one thing. Hey, when he gets to heaven, he's going to fit right in. There's going to be a lot of doctors and lawyers that ain't going to know how to act, but he's already got practice. Amen? He's going to be shouting and hollering and praising the Lord. Amen? Amen. And that's what they're doing. That's the third holy. Now, look at the fourth one. I got time. Look at verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, you can really get a better understanding of this if you ever go see a big waterfall. You ever seen a big waterfall? I know y'all hillbillies have. A big waterfall. Look, that water comes and it's just deafening. And you look up there and all that water's pouring off there. It's beautiful, but it's deafening. You're one of them Appalachian Americans. Amen. And so that water's pouring off. How many of y'all never seen a waterfall? Raise your hand. Oh, everybody's seen one. I thought I was unusual. I saw ones all I ever seen. Y'all probably go places I don't get to go. But that water's just so loud. And he's comparing it to that, like the voice of many waters. See? So what he's saying is, it's powerful. There's so many people saying this at one time that it is overwhelmingly powerful. You can feel the power. You ever been in church when the Holy Spirit of God come down and people start shouting and hollering and crying and waving their hands? I've seen them crawl up to the altar and just, brother, you ever seen? I just seen me and Bobby Brindle one time was at camp meeting and boy, they got to singing and going on. This lady come up there and she got the Christian flag, walked back there and got it and started walking around that thing, waving it, shouting, woo! And then a little boy went up there and got the American flag. He started running up down the aisles, carrying the American flag, and they were shouting. I looked over at Brother Bobby. Well, I looked down there at Brother Bobby, you know. And we're sitting there, and his little feet were sticking off the end of the pew, you know, because they won't go, they won't bend. He's so short. And I said, Brother Bobby, I done got to crying. He got to crying. When I looked at him, he broke out laughing. I mean, he was laughing, and then I broke out laughing. And then I looked around and looked back, and Brother Bobby done come out of the pew, and he was crawling down the aisle on them little old knees, you know. And he crawled up on that altar, and he was going, woo! He's just crying, you know. How many of y'all remember Brother Marvin Bullard? Do you remember him? Now, Marvin couldn't hardly read or write his name. I think he's a Lumbee Indian. Was he a Lumbee Indian? Pembroke. Loved the Lord. I'll never forget. Brother Marvin, he get to shouting and crying. We went to camp meeting one time. Big man. That much bigger than me. Huge. Scared me. I made him mad one time. Scared me. And he got down there. It was a New Manor Baptist Church up in the hills there in North Carolina. And Brother Danny Castle was still there. And he was preaching. I don't even know what he was preaching on. But the Lord got hold of Brother Marvin. Now, the church was sitting 900, and he was sitting about halfway back. And he wasn't sitting with us because I had a bunch of kids. He didn't want to put up with the kids. And it was youth rally. And I heard something way on the other side of the church going, woo! 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 And he run down to the altar, and that big old Indian fell on the altar, and he was down there going, woo, God! Woo, God! I mean, loud, 900 people. And the preacher stopped and looked at him. He was trying to preach, and he couldn't hear the preacher over the sound system. And Marvin was just, y'all know how he was. He just crying so hard, his face was soaked, you know. He walked over there. He looked at him, he looked at us, and he said, bless him, Lord, and he went back to preach. Now, Marvin may not can read and write, and he may not know a whole lot about social things, but when he gets to heaven, he's going to fit right in.
Amen.
Amen? Now, listen, hallelujah, that's the magic word right there. Hallelujah. Why? Because they said he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. Hey, I'll never forget, same man. Y'all remember this. He was sitting up there at the Independent Bible Baptist Church about where Sister Jean is. And the preacher wasn't even preaching. He was about to get ready to preach. You might remember. And he jumped up and he said, woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise. And he got up front and he started testifying. He said, he's all powerful. He said, my wife just read me that verse. She had to read it to him. Just read me that verse. Says he's all powerful. He said, glory to God, he's all powerful. That went on for about 5 minutes. Y'all remember that? He just walked up and down the aisle and cried. Listen, his wife might have had to read him that, but he knows God's all powerful. Amen. And look, we're going to be in that crowd. Marvin's going to be in that crowd. His power demonstrated, listen, his power demonstrated with the destruction. He demonstrates his power by destroying that harlot church. He demonstrates his power by destroying the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet and destroying all those wicked ones. He demonstrates his power and his ability and his authority and his strength and his force against all those ungodly powers. Now it's Russia against us against Russia, Trump against the Democrats, Democrats against Republicans. There's some powerful people involved in this stuff. And they're trying to overthrow our government, whether y'all believe that or not. There's a shadow government there trying to overthrow. The man's done, our ex has done went down the street and rented him a house, and he's moved that old hussy that used to, can I say hussy? He's moved that old husband, Valerie Jarrett, his office manager, in with them, and they're orchestrating all this stuff in the background. Y'all listen to me. That's some powerful people. You and I cannot touch the hem of their garment when it comes to power. They can move nations. They can. You and I can go out here on the street corner scream and holler, but it's not going to do any good. But these people can manipulate and move whole nations, Brother Jeff, and they're doing it. They're doing it. The LGBT, and they finally admitted Q crowd. They finally admitted it. That's what people used to call them in the back room. But they finally admitted it. And that's a powerful bunch of people. I mean, politically. Boy, they organize things. You and I, we stand up here and scream and holler scripture, but they organize millions of people to march for them, to vote for them, to pass laws for them. They're powerful people. It's a powerful bunch. The liquor crowd is a powerful bunch of people. Hey, they couldn't get rid of it, so they legalized it. The pot crowd, that's a powerful bunch of people. They can't get rid of it, so they're going to legalize that too in this state before it's over with. But there's some powerful forces in this country and in this world. There's some powerful forces. But let me tell you something. I know the one that created it all. And I know the one that's got the most power. And I know the one that looked at Pilate and he said, "Don't you know I can kill you?" He said, "You'd have no power at all if it were not my Father hadn't given it to you." Amen. Amen. That fellow pointed that big old fat finger at me that day and he said, "You know I could kill you." I said, "You can't threaten me with heaven." Bless God. Go ahead, help yourself. I'll wake up in heaven. And then you have to go to jail. Amen. And then probably go to hell too. I don't know. But I got news for you. I know the creator of the universe. I know him. I talk to him. Amen. He talks to me. Amen. Some girl put on Facebook and she tagged me and a bunch of preachers on it. So I read it. And she was saying something about she was trying to get in touch with God. And she done made a deal that he was going to have to talk to her out loud. She was waiting to hear his voice. So I put a little note in there. I said, "You ain't got to wait. Just open your King James Bible and start reading the Gospel of John. That's what he did. That's what he said. That's the life of Christ that you need to know. And he'll talk to you. And then get off somewhere and start praying. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then come down here to Cornerstone Baptist Church where we can encourage you in that faith." Sitting over at your house drinking a little wine, smoking a little dope, waiting for God to talk to you. He ain't going to talk to you. Let me tell you something. He is all powerful. He has all authority. He has all strength. He has all force against that harlot religion and against that harlot church and that ungodly crowd that falls into it. I'll go ahead and say it. Elevation, levitation, situation, whatever they want to call those churches nowadays. He's got more power than they do. Those cults, he's got more than they do. And boy, when he pours it out on that false religious system, and I'll just go ahead and say it, it's the Catholic Church. There's no doubt about it. It's perfectly described there as the Babylonian Church, and all their practices come from the Babylonian religion. There's no doubt about that. And the whole world couldn't stop it, but he can. And boy, they start praising the Lord. Now, listen. The one that's all powerful, he knows every one of those people that's saying hallelujah. He knows them personally. We're going to be in that crowd, bro. This is right before we come back on our white horse with him. He knows their names individually.
Yes, he does.
And they're all praising him and they're all honoring him for his power and his glory and his honor. Don't say old man upstairs to me. I want to. Look at it again, chapter 19. I'm going to read all six verses. I went over time. And these things, after these things, after what things? Well, the destruction of that church. The destruction of that Antichrist crowd. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged a great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, that ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent. What's that last word? Reigneth. He's in charge. He's taken the reins. He reigneth. He's taken the reins. Now, from here on out through the rest of this book, we're going to see who's really in charge now. Amen. Amen. We're going to see, we're going to see who's really got the reins. Amen. We're going to see who's really got that train that filleth the temple. And, listen, we're going to see the Holy One, the Creator of the universe, and what He's going to do. Now, I hope you know Him. I hope you know Him. I'm not saying know about Him. I hope you know Him. I witnessed a little teenage girl Saturday over there on Cawthon Street, and I said, "Have you ever been born again?" And she said, "Well, I joined church, got baptized." I said, "That's not it." I said, "Have you ever been saved? You ever been born again?" She said, "Well, I've been saved, but I haven't been born again." I said, "You haven't been saved if you haven't been born again." I said, "And if you ever get born again, you'll know it. You'll know it." Amen. And then that devil in the back made her close the door and not talk to me anymore. But listen, if you know Him, this doesn't scare you. People say, "Well, I don't like to read the book of Revelation. It scares me." Don't scare me. Sounds like a home going to me. My family was so messed up, we never had but one family reunion when I was a kid. This looks like a giant family reunion to me. Amen? I don't see anything to be scared of. But if you are afraid of it, I'd check up. I'd check up, see if I was really born again. Now next week, we're going to supper. I want you to see it, y'all Yankees. It's supper. It ain't dinner. It's supper. We're going to supper. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Well, what you going to have for dinner?" I said, "I don't know. We have that on Sunday afternoon after church." Well, what do you eat at night? We eat supper. And we're going to the supper of the Lamb, brother. We're going to the supper. I hope y'all come back. Bring somebody with you. Maybe we can get them fed. Maybe we can get them adopted into the family. They can come to the reunion. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.